Growing up in New Jersey, Teresa Lung often wondered why her father, Paul, was so much older than her friend's parents. But he never talked about his past until one day she found a diary that he kept during World War II. And she discovered that her father, as a 19-year-old Chinese Malayan working for the British Air Force, was captured by the Japanese. He spent the next 3 years doing hard labor in a Japanese prisoner of war camp where beatings, starvation, and sickness were commonplace.
First winter, we lost about 20% of prisoners of war in that camp. A lot of those deaths could have been avoided, but what did they care? They thought they were going to win the war, and they would have to face nobody for punishment.
That's Teresa's father, Paul Lung, speaking in her new documentary, Every Day is a Holiday. He tells her of the journey he makes from the camp to the U.S., where he enlists and serves in the U.S. Army during the Korean War, before finally gaining his citizenship. He then studies medicine in Italy before becoming a doctor in first the Bronx and then New Jersey. The film takes its name from a phrase in Paul Lung's diary. He writes, if he survives the POW camp, every day would be a holiday. The film Every Day is a Holiday debuts on PBS World Tonight and will be shown on PBS stations around the country all this month. And both Teresa and Paul Lung join us from the Argo Network studios in New York. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Why didn't you tell your daughter this whole story before she found the diary?
I think the treatment of war prisoners by the Japanese during World War II is widely known. I didn't want to add any more to what has already been said.
We did know that my father was a prisoner of war. There was that sense or that talk with an occasional phone call with somebody that my dad said was in the war with him. But yeah, we didn't know the details. And I think it was because, one, as he said, he just thought there was enough information out there and why is his story so different? But as you know, with many types of storytelling, sometimes it's the most personal, that first-person perspective you get that just adds a lot of context.
So I used to shovel sand, and then I used to crush big rocks into smaller rocks, and we would unload bags of cement and pile them up in a warehouse. And those were the three main jobs that I did on the hydroelectric dam project. There were fights all over a grain of rice. That was due to hunger more than anything else.
What was it like to remember that over the decades and tell your daughter about it?
You know, those unpleasant things fade away gradually until you don't feel like talking about those unpleasant things anymore.
You know, I wonder, do they really fade away, or were they on your mind somewhere? Had you kind of like forgotten them completely, or were they there somewhere?
No, I don't think one can completely forget all those mistreatment.
Yeah.
That's an impossibility to forget everything.
Well, you know, Teresa, other children of people who have been in terrible situations like this have said that when they find out about it decades later, and that's usually when it can be discussed, it's sort of like realizing that there's a whole part of your parent you didn't even know.
Yes, that rings true. I mean, I think with most of us, we can say with a parent or another loved one, you kind of think of them, or I did, you know, growing up, oh, there's my mom, there's my dad, and that's what I thought of them as, right, mommy and daddy. But then right after seeing the diary, like, oh, my gosh, you know, he was 19 and going through this. You know, I was in college. Woohoo! You know, it's very, very different context. It puts life, I think, in perspective, or, you know, we all go through certain types of hardships, but if we can try to keep in mind and try to stay positive when possible.
You know, we're going to hear more about that, but that's just the beginning of your story. Once you're released from the POW camp, you make your way to the U.S. You wanted desperately to become a citizen, but at the time, only 105 Chinese immigrants a year were permitted to become citizens. We remember the history with China. You became a merchant marine because there was a law that if someone served aboard a U.S. boat for 5 years, they could become citizens, but that fell through. So you then enlist. You go serve in Korea in another war. All of this, even as you tell us that when you first came, American kids used to call you chink, used to make fun of you and how you looked. You weren't treated well. Given that, why did you want so badly to be in America?
Well, because of freedom and all the opportunities that the United States offers to foreign immigrants. Also, there was a fight also in my native country, Malaysia. The Malaysians were fighting against the Malaysian communists too at that time. So in fighting in Korea, I was fighting against world communism.
So you weren't just fighting for the U.S., you were fighting against something. We hear that clearly. And this is very important to you. When you give your daughter the go-ahead to make the film, you tell her, go ahead and make this documentary, but not one word against America.
That's true. That's true. I've never forgotten the United States.
Well, so at a certain point recently, Paul, you and your Taiwanese-born wife and your two children go back to Japan. You go back to the site of this prisoner of war camp. And you're standing out on this field showing your children how you used to be made to stand at attention before going to do this hard labor. And it's the first time you show emotion. You suddenly blurt out, one in five, forced to watch the mortality.
One in every five.
Oh, Daddy, yeah, yeah.
One in five.
Oh. It was the only time I'd ever seen my daddy cry.
All through mortality, through military savagery.
I could not help but cry, thinking of the people who could have been saved with some decent medical care.
And you and other survivors were forced to watch this death.
Yes.
My dad then explained to us that he and other prisoners also had burial detail where they had to carry the dead bodies up to the crematorium to cremate the bodies. So if you can imagine, not just the death rate, but you also have to go on that kind of detail.
Well, Paul, you ask in your diary, how can I forget and forgive? This is, again, the words of you as a young man going through this. Have you? You haven't forgotten, but...
No, forgiven as a practicing Christian, I have forgiven. You know, it is not the fault of the common Japanese people themselves. They were fooled like the rest of the world with the false propaganda and died by the thousands in the kamikaze attacks, died all for nothing. Yeah. I'd like to add that all during the war, even the Japanese people themselves suffered a lot. From hunger, from lack of clothing, even lack of ordinary soap. You know, ordinary soap, washing soap. Oh. Everything was so strictly rationed.
Yeah.
And people wore clothes were full of patches. The Japanese people themselves.
Yeah. Well, again, Paul Lung, you said, if I ever get out of here, every day is going to be a holiday.
Yes.
Is it?
I still believe in that.
That's Paul Lung. His daughter is Teresa. Her documentary about her father's experiences in a World War II prison camp and afterwards becoming a U.S. citizen is called Every Day is a Holiday. For more, go to herenow.org.
Vaya con Dios.
He's been practicing his Spanish. He's been learning Spanish my dad, because he already speaks Italian. And so it's something that he likes to say.
No, I think that's a very good expression.
Go with God. Thank you.
Go with God.
Thank you.